your symptoms are messages and your body is telling you something if you don't feel right. And it's unfortunate, but nowadays we have to be the advocate for our own health, and we have to take it into our hands, and we have to keep asking the questions, and we have to demand the testing, and we have to say, I'm not settling for no, that's normal, because normal does not equal optimal.
So we've got another guest health expert on the podcast this week, and it's a naturopathic doctor from the US. Her name's Dr. Erin Ellis. And in today's episode, Dr. Erin is going to tell us about her number one health hack that she recommends that people get involved in. And this is something that I love myself personally as well. She'll reveal to us what kind of advice that she gives to her patients to improve their gut health. And then Dr. Erin will dive into her own personal story, where she was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer and how that then inspired her to go down the naturopathic doctor route. And then she'll share with us the biggest lessons that she learned from that whole journey. And then finally, Dr. Erin will finish off the episode by sharing some of her favourite health tips with you guys. And if this is the first episode you've listened to, the For Gut's Sake podcast is all about helping people with IBS, colitis and Crohn's disease to reverse their symptoms and take back control of their gut health. Okay, enough of all of that jazz. Let's get into the good stuff right now. Hi, Erin. Great to have you on the podcast today. So you're based in Arizona. You're a naturopathic doctor and your business is Hope Natural Health. And you and I have got one thing in common. We both are absolutely obsessed with saunas and saunas for looking after our health. Tell us a bit about that and why it's such a big part of your own health routine.
Yeah, so sauna therapy is one of my favorite things. It's such a good tool for so many different things. You can improve your health with heat and even cold, but we'll talk about mostly heat today. But the sauna therapy is like so good for your skin health, to help you detox. It can increase your metabolism. Usually after the sauna, like I'm starving afterwards, ready to eat, obviously, some nourishing foods. It can improve circulation. It can improve your immune system. It can help with sleep. It helps with stress reduction. It relaxes you. I mean, the list of benefits just go on and on and on with sauna therapy. And you don't have to be doing it for a long time either. 20 to 30 minutes, you know, three or four times a week has the same benefits of doing it, you know, longer duration, really. So less is more, in my opinion, but trying to be frequent with it can really help improve and optimize your health.
Yeah. And is this something that you recommend to your patients as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially for those who have stagnant detox pathways, like they're not sweating a lot, or, you know, I feel like they have a little bit of build up or back up. It's like, hey, what about, you know, sweat therapy? We're in Arizona. So yeah, you could probably just go outside, but the benefits of sauna therapy is a lot different because it really heats your body from the inside out. You know, there's different forms of sauna therapy, but infrared sauna is my favorite because it does heat from the inside out. So it elicits, you know, it's kind of like a pseudo fever. So that's how it activates your immune system. So I recommend it for the detox effects and also for those who often become ill often, this will be very helpful for boosting immune system.
Yeah, and it's something I've mentioned on the podcast a few times is sauna therapy, and I think, and I post on my socials about it, and I think people say, there it goes again, he's rabbiting on about it. But the real reason I do is because it's such a simple thing to do, and I see it as low-hanging fruit. Stepping into that sauna for like 20 minutes and it has all of those different benefits that you listed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of us even take our pets in there as well.
Oh yeah. My dog loves a sauna. He's only in there for, you know, up until he starts panting and then I take him out. But he now is good and he kicks himself out when he knows he's had enough, but he loves it. I really think he just likes the heat. But yeah, he loves it. And it's safe for pets.
Yeah, that's so funny when you told me that the first time. I love it. I was having a nosy on your website, hopenaturalhealth.com. I love what you guys have got on there, the messages you're putting out. But one thing that really caught my attention was some of the terminology on the homepage where you described what you guys do as root cause detectives. And there's a big focus on being naturally focused as well. Tell us a bit more about that, the whole root cause detectives thing.
Yeah, so as naturopathic doctors, we like to get to the root of your health condition rather than, I like saying, giving you a pill for your ill. There's a reason why you have symptoms. Your symptoms are messages. So instead of, you know, oh, I have a headache here, let me take some Advil. It's like, well, why do we have the headache? So we're trying to get to the root of what is going on. Why do we have a stomach ache? Why do we have the gas? Why do we have the bloating? Why do we have fatigue? You know, why do we have period cramps that are debilitating? I'm like that nagging toddler that asking the question all the time, why? Because there's a reason why we have these symptoms, and it's not always normal. Even though it's, you know, normal for you, it's not normal. So that's why we look at the root. And by doing that, we look at the body as a whole. Your body has the innate ability to heal itself if, one, you understand what the root causes, and two, you give the body what it needs. But you have to address the root and the deficiencies or the excesses to get to that point. But that's why I like to call myself a little detective, because I'm trying to figure out why you're experiencing whatever symptom it is.
And obviously, you work with quite a wide range of patients, but you did tell me previously that a big part of figuring out what's going on with people and getting people back on track again is looking at their gut health. That's almost like a foundation. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's what this podcast is all about. It's about empowering people to take back control of their gut health. What are some of the key pieces of advice that you give to people in terms of improving their gut health?
Yeah, so gut health is typically, like you just said, the foundation of health, and it's often overlooked by a lot of other doctors, but it's so important. Gut health doesn't always manifest in like the gut either. So you could have healthy bowel movements, you could never have abdominal pain or bloating, but poor gut health can manifest in other areas like brain fog, fatigue, headaches, rashes, things like that. So it's not always specific to like the abdomen or even your bowel movements. So if I see some of these symptoms come up in our intake, it's like we're always looking at the gut health and making sure that we're nourishing the gut microbiome. We're getting, you know, plants and fruits and good foods that will support the microbiome. We're making sure that we are pooping. And that's a huge, you know, component of gut health. And if we're not pooping, then there's, you know, a reason why, and we're trying to figure out that reason. We're also eliminating things that can hinder gut health, like perhaps maybe food sensitivities, or we have some sort of malabsorption or leaky gut. So we're looking at things that can affect that and then how we can repair the gut. So that's, I guess, in a nutshell, what I would, you know, say to someone that first came to see me is I'm always looking at that. I can also tell too, if it's not like outwardly apparent in the intake on labs. And even furthermore too, like down the road, if they've started a protocol and then we do some lab work and nothing's really changed, but they're consistent with taking their supplements and all of this, it's like, well, maybe we're not absorbing as well as we should. So then I'm diving into the gut even more at that time too.
Makes total sense. On this podcast, one key element of it as well is I like to get people on the show who have been through the mill. They've had a long journey themselves. They've had their own struggles. Now, I know you did as well before you became a naturopathic doctor. Tell us about your story, because I know things got quite serious for you around 2010.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with a rare form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2010. I had a tumor by my bladder. The type of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that I had is, like I mentioned, very rare. It's found in only 2% of all non-Hodgkin's lymphomas, and typically found in older men. So clearly I'm not a man. I don't find myself to be old either. So I did not fit the criteria of this cancer. So I'm a firm believer now that things happen for us. And even though I would never wish cancer on anyone, if that would have never happened to me, I would not be, you know, doing what I'm doing now, or even probably recording this podcast. But having that cancer diagnosis at such a young age, I was 31 at the time, showed me that, you know, life really is too short. It's never too late to start taking your health seriously. And you don't know what you don't know either. So when I found out about naturopathic medicine, I knew nothing at the time when I was going through my cancer journey. But shortly after that, I met a naturopathic doctor. I said, what do you do? Like, I was so intrigued because I didn't know that there was a different way for medicine. I was, you know, under raised in the conventional medicine world. It's like, oh, you have this, take that. Oh, you don't feel good here, take this. It's like, but like I mentioned in the beginning, you know, our symptoms are messages and there's a reason why we feel the way we feel. So I knew that a lot of disease processes, or I learned that a lot of disease processes could be prevented if we get, you know, ahead of it. And that's why I'm such a huge fan of testing and not guessing and really diving into comprehensive lab work and making sure that we are the healthiest versions of ourselves, because there's a lot of things that we can catch early if we know, or if we know what's going on. So you don't need to be sick to go to the doctor. You can do general wellness labs and comprehensive labs, make sure that nutrients are good, work on the gut health. And a lot of these things, like I mentioned, can be prevented if we just, you know, take action a little bit earlier. Now, could I have prevented, you know, what I went through? Maybe. But, you know, I think a lot of it was my upbringing and some environmental exposures and toxins. But again, you don't know what you don't know. So that's why I now, you know, educate around environmental toxins and things like that, because they do have an effect on overall health and, you know, progression into disease processes later. So yeah, it was a very eye-opening experience, but I'm very fortunate and blessed to have come out of it a-okay. And now 14 years later, still cancer-free. As far as that goes, I've had, you know, skin cancer since, but, yeah, I'm just on a constant daily journey of trying to become my healthiest version. And that's why I use a lot of biohacking tools like sauna and, you know, getting to the root of my symptoms and trying to just be, you know, my healthiest version every day.
Yeah, amazing. Glad to hear it's gone so well. What were some of the key lessons that you got from that journey then? I was quite interested when you mentioned the environmental toxicity as well. How did you come across that that might be a factor in your own health decline?
Testing. And, well, testing after the fact. And then also just with the education that I have and learning about environmental toxins and endocrine disruptors specifically. Endocrine disruptors are chemicals that can affect our endocrine system, which is our entire hormone system. So the thyroid, our adrenals, and our reproductive hormones. So again, you don't know what you don't know. So that's why, you know, looking at our environment is so important. And we live in such a toxic environment that, you know, we can't control everything. But if you can make small steps in the right direction, you know, every day, whether that's trying to detox with sauna or improving your gut health so that you can excrete excess toxins or do testing or replace a product that might not be as clean as the one you originated with, you know, looking at the things that you're exposed to on a daily basis, even Wi-Fi, things like that. You know, it's tough in our society nowadays because we're just bombarded with toxins left and right. So again, we can't control everything, but the things that you can control are the things that are readily available to you and the choices that you make, that you put in your body, on your body, you know, inhaling, what you clean with, things like that. So that was a huge eye opener. Also, nutrition was another big one that I learned through my cancer diagnosis. I never really ate vegetables. And the reason is because I lived by myself at the time and I would buy vegetables at the store, but then they would always go bad because it was, you know, a big chunk of broccoli or a big head of broccoli. And it was like, well, I, as a single person, don't have, you know, this a lot of broccoli for one person. If you buy like carrots and then say you buy, I don't know, zucchini. And so now you have all these vegetables. Well, they would go bad. So then I was like, well, this is dumb. I just don't eat them. Well, vegetables are super important for us, you know, for the fiber content and all of that. So little things like that. Also, water was a huge one. I hated water. because it was so boring. And so I loved my soda. And just, again, you don't know what you don't know. And so throughout that journey, I just learned a lot about health and wellness and, you know, these things that I was doing that were probably contributing to, you know, the cells being naughty in my body. So that's why I love teaching and I love doing things like this to educate people because, you know, we're not taught these things.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's why I'm digging a wee bit deeper with the toxicity thing, because I think it's such a big issue, but not a lot of the general public really take it into account. Mm-hmm. Like everything they're absorbing, their food, the air pollution outside, it's we're being bombarded from all angles and people don't really realise how badly it's affecting their health. If you don't mind me asking, what were some of the results that came back when you did the testing? Was it heavy metals?
I had a little heavy metal. BPA was really high, which is found in plastics. I think most every time I run that test on patients, that one's always high because we're just exposed to so many plastics, even, you know, things, again, we can't control. It wasn't anything like crazy significant. It was just a little bit here and a little bit there. I mean, is that why I had the cancer? I don't know. But again, I'm not going to sit here and be like, why did this happen? It happened and I beat it. And, you know, I can just move forward from here trying to be healthier by the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Another great quote. I've got a note of it here. I'm going to read it out to you from your website. You said, this diagnosis proved that life is too short to feel suboptimal, and given the right tools, your body has the innate ability to heal itself. I love that. Talk a wee bit more about that.
So in my practice, I help primarily women with their hormones, and so many women have been dismissed. They felt hopeless. They felt defeated. They feel not like themselves. They go to the doctor, they explain this, and they're just told that that's the way it is, or there's nothing that can be done, or they're just a tired mom, or here, take an antidepressant. And life is too short to feel like that. Again, your symptoms are messages. So if you do not feel like yourself, there's something going on. And do not stop at no for an answer. Do not stop at that's just the way it is, because you truly deserve to feel your best self. I've never felt better. I'm in my 40s now, and I, you know, feel better than I did when I was in my 20s or 30s. You know, everyone deserves to feel better by the day. And just because you're getting older doesn't mean that you should feel worse too. So it's just, again, your symptoms are messages and your body is telling you something if you don't feel right. And it's unfortunate, but nowadays we have to be the advocate for our own health, and we have to take it, you know, into our hands, and we have to keep asking the questions, and we have to demand the testing, and we have to say, I'm not settling for no, that's normal, because normal does not equal optimal. And even if it's normal for you, does not mean that it's normal. So that's, you know, a huge thing that's I see almost every single day in practice. And it's so unfortunate, especially with women. And I truly believe that women's healthcare is broken, but I'm here to just continue to speak from the rooftops that you deserve to feel your best, and don't settle for no as an answer. And that was the same thing with my diagnosis. It was, you know, I had this pain and swelling in my groin, and I knew something was wrong. And yeah, just give it some time. It should go away. If it doesn't, come back. And here, let's do some more testing. I'm like, good, let's do more testing. Like, this isn't normal. So just keep asking and don't give up. And if you're not getting the answers you deserve from one practitioner, find another one. You're not, you know, married to your doctors or the doctors you've had since you were a kid. You know, you can choose different people in your healthcare journey, or find someone, you know, an adjunctive, there, you know, a practitioner like a functional medicine doctor or a naturopathic doctor to work on your team. You don't have to settle for suboptimal, because you truly deserve to feel your best.
And what are some of the natural health practices that you have in your own life, and some of the natural health tips that you would maybe share with listeners?
So I would say my top three are hydration, exercise, and sleep. and nutrition. We'll throw a fourth one in there. Mm-hmm. So I have definitely changed my diet a whole lot since having cancer, and I eat more organic, less processed foods. I try and avoid sugar. I don't eat gluten. Dairy is very minimal. I also have Hashimoto's, so I avoid gluten, you know, mainly for that reason, but I feel better even not eating gluten. I never compromise or skimp on my sleep, but I never did that even before having cancer. Like I love sleep. Even in medical school, I never pulled all-nighters. No, I need my sleep. So I still, you know, prioritize sleep because it's so important. And movement, exercise. What's funny is I was training for a half marathon because, I don't know, I got some wild hair at my butt to like do that right before I was diagnosed with cancer. And then had to stop because I couldn't run. I was in pain. And so here I was like trying to be healthy. I remember I was going to the gym. And then I get this crazy diagnosis. But anyways, like now I still prioritize strength training and walking as women, I think are the two most important exercises. I've learned that high intensity training isn't really good for someone in my age. It's a little hard on my bones. But strength training and walking are my two favorite things, and yoga. So movement and then hydration. So like I said, I hated water. I would never drink water. I saw it was boring. And now I literally cannot live without water. It's like my little security blanket. I carry it everywhere. Plus I'm in Arizona, so it's very hot here. So hydration is key. I mean, 80% of your brain is made up of water. So we need water for, you know, detox too. And especially if you're in the sauna, we also need to replete, you know, hydration and electrolytes and things like that. So those are probably like the four things that I really focus on now since having that diagnosis.
Yeah. And for some people, it's not like you're saying something like completely new here. It is the basics, but a lot of people do ignore those though, don't they? And it can have a big effects if you do not get enough sleep. And I'm the same as you. If I get anything less than 7 hours, I cannot function.
Yeah. Same. I'm like a little koala bear. I just love to sleep.
Awesome. This has been a great chat. Let's just wrap up with you letting us know where people can find you, how they can connect with you if they want to learn more about what you do.
Yeah. So very active on social media. You can find me on Instagram at dr.erinellis. Also on TikTok. Share a lot of educational content over there. I also have a podcast, the Hope Natural Health Podcast, which you've been on, which is a really good episode. And my website, hopenaturalhealth.com or drerinellis.com.
Amazing. Great chatting to you.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
A massive thanks to Dr. Erinellis for joining us on the podcast and to you too for tuning in. But now, time to drag your arse to the sauna. Catch you in the next episode.